Hamilton. I love Hamilton. It's my third time seeing it, so. Though I did tell my wife one day I would love to just be on that show for, I don't know, a week, but I would need a lot of practice. What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton. Dale Arnold.
If Le'Veon Bell cashes in on this deal, it's going to open up a Pandora's box.
Rich Keefe.
I am a bad boy. I'm the bad boy of radio.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
I knew it!
On top of rodents and small.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, I know a lot of people, me included.
Yeah.
Who has not been able to see Hamilton one time in my life. It's a very expensive ticket.
It is a hard ticket to get.
I mean, it's hard to get. How did a guy like Tom Brady manage to snag three different shows?
Must
I mean, how does it work out for
him? Must be nice to have that kind of pull, huh?
And clout and
money. I
think money
Giselle probably got him in.
Maybe. That'd be my guess.
You know, my stance on it, I have never seen Hamilton. I've heard all about it, obviously,
anything,
ad nauseum.
Yeah.
My guess, overrated.
Well, based on what?
The whole thing. The whole thing. Like, ooh, it's old school and it's historical, but it's a rap, so it's got to be good. Nope. I bet it's not that good. I've seen clips of it. Everybody talks about it. I've seen clips of it. Also, the guy, Lin-Manuel Miranda,
right,
kind of bothers me. Rubs me the wrong way.
What?
He does.
Based on what?
So he was in a bunch of episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, I think last season. Plus, he's in a bunch of commercials, and I've seen him in like one other thing. And just kind of, he was on SNL. He hosted SNL one time. I don't know. It's not for me. It's like they're convincing a lot of people, like, hey, it's super cool. Like, you can't say that a rap version of something isn't cool. And I like rap, but I don't really like, I think the Hamilton thing, I don't know why it's taken off to the degree that it has.
I guess
again,
really
haven't seen it three times like Tom Brady, but my guess is it would be a waste of money.
So Tom Brady actually did his Wednesday press conference on Wednesday this week.
Shocker.
Probably because they're off for the next 4 days.
Yeah.
Don't you find, I mean, I like the NFL. You like the NFL.
Love the NFL.
As you said during
the
award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
Moments ago. You know, Thursday night football tonight, I just don't care much during bye week.
You don't care about the Mike Holmgren Bowl?
It's the Seahawks and Packers? Just football in general doesn't have the same oomph the week that your team's not playing.
Although it's a nice red zone day, because usually
that's
when the Patriots play at
and
one,
that's what I'll be doing,
I don't watch
and
red
that's
zone.
What I'll do, but I'll have half
You're
an eye on
steam.
It.
You're losing steam
on the
NFL.
Oh, but I'll pick it back up when the pesky Jets, you know, are the next opponent on the schedule.
But I think out of all the sports, when it's not your team, all the out-of-town sports, isn't NFL still the one you watch the most?
Oh, yeah. God,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, out of all of them.
Oh,
like,
no, I love Red Zone.
Right.
You know, as you said, that's what we'll be doing on Sunday. But it's not the same when you don't have...
No, when your team's not
Not playing this week, and it's like, okay.
For sure.
I'll watch because it's what we do.
And
but
that's why, you know, you think about the playoffs, and every single year, your team's in it. So you're more invested into the playoffs. But how many fan bases have to watch these? They're like, hope for a good game. You know, my team's 4-12, but I'm hoping for a good game now. So it is different. But
I mean, Brady sounded... I thought pretty upbeat yesterday.
Chipper.
Chipper might not have been the word
too
I was going for, but...
Too much?
I try to avoid anything that gets people down the road of Chip and Dale. So, you know, it's
that must have been thing you've had to
hurt me as a kid.
For a while.
So, you know, I thought he sounded pretty upbeat.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty positive.
Yeah, he sounded happy.
It's funny.
I really want to talk Hamilton. Do you think he could actually be in Hamilton if he had a couple of weeks to practice?
No.
I feel like we all have different skills.
And that's not,
no.
I mean, I've seen him act on
SNL. Right? I think it'd be very awkward.
I mean,
on
he got out-acted by Peyton Manning on SNL by a wide margin.
Yeah, he really did. I think he'd be better suited, though, for the stage.
Like, do you think
he
can sing?
I don't know if he can.
Oh, I have a pretty good idea.
No, probably not. But sometimes you see somebody.
We hear Giselle sing the end of every show, every day when we're on the air. How does a
bastard orphan? Is that Tom Brady?
No.
See it's so cool. They're rapping.
He could do this.
Rossi, where do you stand on Hamilton? Overrated?
Vastly overrated.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Rossi, have you seen it?
No, I saw those Curb Enthusiasm episodes. Have I seen it? Has anybody seen it?
Well,
I
don't know. Brady's seen it three times.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a multi-gajillionaire.
Yeah, you have to be to see it, apparently. Unless, Lucy, you've seen it, right?
I actually have not seen it.
What?
Overrated, though?
But I also believe it's overrated.
Look at this. It's almost unanimous, Dale. If you say it's overrated.
I can't overrate something I haven't seen.
Yeah, but you've seen enough of it. You know about it. Everybody talks about it. It can't possibly live up
likes
to the
it.
Hype. No, I don't know if they do. I think they're afraid to say that they don't.
That's exactly it.
Right?
People are scared to say, it's not for me.
I didn't like it. They're like, what's the matter? You don't like rap music?
You don't like the arts?
You're like, I just don't. I don't know.
I could see Tom Brady doing
this. Yeah, Brady, you know what? Brady probably could do it. Get him like a couple of lines. He'd master it.
I mean, he could be an extra back on the back of the set somewhere.
Do you really need to see it multiple times?
Apparently,
like,
some do.
What are we doing?
Well, how about
did you miss something? Alexander
Hamilton. How about people who?
Oh, hi, Alex.
How about people who travel all around the country see Springsteen like 54 times or something?
Yeah, I'm all in on that.
I don't understand that either.
I mean, let's be honest. There's probably not a lot of unanswered questions after you've seen him 30 times.
Yeah, but he mixed up the set list a little bit.
He played him in a different order this time.
Don't do that. All right, there's a total difference, I think, in a live rock show.
But there's no difference if you see him 35, 50 times, the shows are still the shows.
Yeah, but Hamilton is probably start to finish the exact same.
Yes, every second of it,
Mix it up a little bit. Maybe he's wearing a hat.
Whoa! Look, honey, it's a hat!
Yeah, look at that hat. That's a sweet hat. Oh, he's gonna talk to us. He's going to talk to the crowd for a little bit. He's going to do crowd work. And no two crowd works can be the same, right? Because he's like, hey, guys, it's great to be here in Boston, Massachusetts.
He's going for the Mick Foley cheap pop.
Yeah. Hey, guys, it's great to be here in New York City. Like, that's different. That's
I've seen Bruce Springsteen about 38 times.
Are you serious?
That is sickening. You make me sick.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious, yes.
Oh, my God.
My father and I have seen him together, about 38 times.
About 38. So we know it's exactly 38, Ross. He's not
No, it's probably 58. That's all he'll admit to is 38.
Why on earth would you do that to yourself?
I'm a huge live music fan, and I think he is the top of the charts when it comes to a live music show.
What about a musical? Would you go see a musical?
I would, yeah. I've seen tons of musicals.
So I saw the Book of Mormon when they came to Boston, and that was hilarious. That was great.
Wouldn't go see it three times?
I think I saw it. Now, the other thing
Now, I saw Springsteen at Fenway.
There you go.
Only time I've ever seen him. Great show. Had a great time.
Cross it off your list.
What date?
I'm
just kidding.
Ross, he was there. You probably saw him.
We loved it. My wife and I had a great time.
Yeah.
It's not like the next time he was coming to Boston, I'm like, we got
to
go back.
Either, but some people do.
I have daughters,
yeah.
I ended up having to see Taylor Swift three times.
There you go.
Because you got to take your daughters to Gillette Stadium.
Right.
And again,
nice little show. Sure.
It's a little different for her because she has a different theme. Like, this tour is the red tour.
But she probably has different songs when she comes
yes,
out. Whereas
exactly.
If you go see a musical, it's the same time.
Now, and if you go see Springsteen, he's got a huge catalog, but he's got to play the hits, right?
I would hope.
So, I promise you're getting Born to Run at some point.
Don't be ready for some deep cuts.
Somewhere in the course of the neat night, you're getting Born to Run.
I just wrote this on the way in here. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. But the musicals, you could also, I understand, like Lin-Manuel Miranda is in New York. Actually, I don't even know if he's still doing it. But like if you saw him somewhere else, it might be his understudy or like whatever else. So I guess that would be a reason to see it three times. But
I can't think of a reason to see anybody 38 times.
Rossi's got a sickness about him.
I mean, I like him. It was great. We had a nice
38
time.
Times. Think about how much money and time you have wasted doing that.
Please, do you know how much money and time I've wasted on all the stuff in my life?
Your wife might be listening, Rossi. So
she knows. It's a sickness. Like, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I go see that everywhere as well.
But you can't go see.
That's theoretically a different show every
time. I was going to say,
correct.
Every WrestleMania is different, you know? Each one, it's like a leopard. No spots are the same.
But even like bands like the Foo Fighters, who I'm a huge fan of, they play the same show. I saw them back-to-back nights in Boston and in other cities, and they play the same show back-to-back, but they're still there's something enjoyable about live music.
All right. Well, you know what? We agree to disagree. At least you're on board with my Hamilton take.
If I wasn't on board with you, then I'd be right out.
Not a lot of people are brave enough to say it, but Hamilton, overrated.
I actually feel like Brady is a piker. He's only seen Hamilton three times. Rossi's gone to see Springsteen 38
true.
Times.
Well, Brady's busier than Rossi.
He's got more stuff going on in his life.
Does this sound like something you'd want to sit through?
Like, this particular song may not be the highlight of the entire show.
This is the main song.
Is it?
Alexander Hamilton, pass on this. They go back and forth.
It's Aaron Burr, but that's close enough.
Aaron Burr. See, I didn't see it, Dale.
I know. That's not your fault.
But, get to the duel and let's go. Yeah.
See if somebody can get shot in this thing.
Hurry this up. Move this along. And let's watch something else.
Get to the lobby for the intermission.
Get Book of Mormon in here. It'd be much better.
Well,
anyway, good for
Brady yesterday held his press conference, said all the cliched stuff you'd expect him to say. We've got to be better. I've got to be better. I found it interesting, though, because somebody did bring up to him that there is at least one statistical metric out there which shows that he is dead last in the National Football League against the blitz.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And he didn't actually fight back on it or anything. It was like, well, you don't want to be last in anything. And
No, especially when it's Joe Flacco and it's Josh Rosen, and those are the guys that he is right behind. He's worse than those guys.
Anymore.
Now, Peterman, he has all the time in the world to see Hamilton now. Nathan Peterman, see you later.
Just doesn't have the money.
But the other thing with Tom Brady is, I don't know if you read anything into this or if you take this, how you read this answer, but this is Tom Brady when asked about Rob Gronkowski.
Do you look forward to getting Gronk back after the bye?
Yeah, I mean, whenever we get him back, I think everyone's going to be excited about that. Hopefully it's soon, but those things are really up to, you know, him and the trainers and so forth. And I know he works extremely hard at preparing, and I know he wants to be out there. So I think really getting everyone out there, everyone that is on the roster, that's available, that we have confidence in, that can go out and help us win games and make plays and be productive, that's what our goal is.
So there's a follow-up in there we'll get to in a second, but one of the things he says in there is hopefully it's soon. Do you take that as, obviously he just wants his guy out there, or is he saying that like, hey, Gronk, let's go?
No, I didn't take it that way
at all.
You
didn't read it that way at all?
The way as I was listening to it, and I heard it yesterday as well, it was he didn't want to put a timetable pressure on Gronk.
Right.
You know, hopefully it's soon, but he didn't want to say, you know, hopefully he's out there against the Jets.
No, he didn't say that, but hopefully it's soon. I mean, because you can, first of all, just look at it, like, obviously he wants the best players available to him, but hopefully it's soon is like, all right, Gronk, you've missed three of the last four games, you know, hopefully, you know, you're back sooner rather than later.
Didn't read it that way, and did you?
No.
Of course you did.
No, I didn't really. I really didn't. I think that's kind of the obvious. Like, I want my guy back, and, you know, sooner rather than later, and you know these guys go through injuries. You know, people not named Tom Brady miss games. And so he's sort of been used to it with Gronk. But he was also asked about, you know, him, you know, in the connection they've had.
Absolutely. I mean, I played a lot of football with him, and I think I have a lot of trust and confidence in a lot of things that have happened over the years. So, you know, when he's not there, it's just there's a different level with other players. You know, sometimes we don't try some things because Gronk's not in there. Sometimes we do. But obviously, the more dependable, consistent players you have on the field, the more productive and efficient you'll be, which leads to scoring more points, which leads to better opportunities to win the game, which is ultimately the reason why we're all here. So, you know, just understanding what we all do well consistently and to try to do those things over and over again, you know, makes for a successful team. Probably makes for a successful column. You know? Yeah, exactly. Nah.
Consistency. That's what we need.
I want to know who he thought.
Column.
I want to know who he was directing the successful column remark.
Yeah, I don't
to.
Know who asked the question there, but he was making good eye contact yesterday too. I noticed
he actually seemed much more upbeat than I expected.
Yeah, I think a few days after a 34-10 loss, you know, the offense only scores 10 points, but he didn't seem to be beating himself up too much about it.
I will say this, and it drives. I think it drives fans crazy. Is that athletes generally, I mean, short of, you know, you lose the championship or something, you carry that around with you for a while, athletes generally turn the page a lot quicker than fans do. They almost have to.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, I can't sit here and brood about this for the next 10 days, which fans will be doing. You know, they're going to be brooding about it.
Right,
we'll be
not,
brooding about it.
We're not at practice. You know, we're not at, you know, on to the next team. Like, those guys can say that because they are. And so, whether they win or lose, don't you think they have a very similar
schedule? Yes, it's like, move on. Let's go.
You can't celebrate a 34-10 win as much as you can't really, you know, feel bad about yourself. Like, that night, maybe even the next day, and then when you're watching film on that game, not going to be great. It's going to be a bad time, but now it's like, okay, here's our bye week schedule. They're going to work on themselves, I'm sure, for a while, and then they're going to look ahead to the Jets. And that's just how you have to keep doing it.
And I do think it drives fans crazy because fans are going to sit and fret about that last game they saw. All they can think of is Tennessee trampling over your team. You know, Mike Vrabel mocking your coach by running the pass play to Marcus Mariota.
And then telling you about it in the postgame.
Oh, yeah. It's just, and
it
so
great.
So fans hate it.
Yeah.
Players, I mean, it's a crummy flight home. You know, it's a crummy film session with Belichick. You know, it's probably yesterday, although I didn't even sense yesterday was that bad a practice. It was a padded practice. The only practice of the week was in pads. They're now off until Monday. But I didn't get the sense that it was, you know, this hellfire and brimstone out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not the best way to go about it, right? I mean, you can't just be like, you know, we've lost everything now. Because, again, the reality is they lead the division. They're 7-3. They right now do not have a first-round bye, but that is within reach. They have a head-to-head game in a few weeks against Pittsburgh. So, I mean, if you put it all into perspective, like, things are still going pretty well for the team. It's just that one game was terrible. They had a nice win streak. Like, early, they were 1-2.
Yep.
And that was a bad scene.
Ripped off 6 in a row.
Exactly. So they're definitely capable of that, and they know what they need to work on because, it's everything. After the last game, it's everything. It was top to bottom was a bad performance.
We save our doom and gloom for the Bruins.
What the hell happened to my guy Halak?
And it's not even that. I mean, I come out of it saying, okay, you got beat, and that was awful. But what I'm more worried about is that you're now missing your top four defense.
Well, that's the injuries.
Chara,
ridiculous.
McAvoy, Brandon Carlo, Kevin Miller, all out. Chara, I don't know how long it's going to be. Saying anything. No, they're saying, lower
great.
Body injury.
Well,
we showed it from the two angles that we had. We only had two angles of it, but you could see the knee cave.
Yeah. Now, he is superhuman.
He's 41 years old. He's a cyborg.
He
finished the last 27 seconds of the shift.
Ugh.
I mean, he is, like you said, superhuman.
But
I can't believe this is one of those. Yeah, I taped an ice pack to it. I'm ready to go.
No, I don't think so either.
He left the dressing room last night in Denver with a limp and a brace. Now, they'll move on. They're in Dallas tomorrow night, and we'll get some medical update. I don't know if he is coming right back to Boston. I don't know if he went to Dallas with them. But
yeah,
if you're a Bruins fan, that didn't look good.
No, that looked terrible. And it's amazing when you go back to the beginning of the season, you said, wow, they have more NHL defensemen than they know what to do with. And they had to trade Adam McQuaid away.
They've now used 11.
They've used 11. And some of these guys, you're like, where did they find them? And they have to now play significant minutes. So, yeah, that was a brutal way. The loss, the injuries to start the road trip. That was awful.
We hear from some Bruins fans from time to time who just can't wait to move on from Zdeno Chara.
Well,
he's old, he's slow, he can't play, get him out of here.
Might get a good look at
it. Now you're going to get a chance to get what you wish for, at least for some period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're going to like how it looks very much.
No, I mean, definitely not, especially because it's not like he's the only guy missing. So it's like, all right, piece everybody else together. Now the depth is going to be completely put to the test right now. And let's see how they respond to it. You know, they look good over the weekend, this past weekend. But then last night, like, is it too much to overcome?
They looked great through two periods. They really did.
Well, they had a 3-1 lead.
I mean, they were
lead.
Playing great.
Yeah.
And then what happened, and if you look at the zone chart for this thing, and I'm not going into the weeds.
Let's get in there.
If you look in the third period especially, it was like an open pathway to Halak's net.
Yeah.
It was like they weren't able to do anything to keep, and Colorado's big and strong, and I understand that.
Well, then all the power play, goals, too, that they allowed. So, I mean, that's just... That was tough, but, the injury is bad, but also having a 3-1 lead, I know there was a ton of time left, but still,
yep,
two-goal lead, you gotta hang on to that, at least find
and
a way
Halak
to get a point.
And Halak didn't play great either. I mean, don't want to, it was not his fault they lost. Please don't misunderstand.
Now, did they say
a couple of those he had no chance.
Did they announce yet if Tuukka's Friday or Saturday?
They did not. Okay. They said it would be Friday or Saturday. My guess is you're going to see him tomorrow night.
I think, after giving up a six-pack there, I think maybe. And again, not all his fault either.
Right.
I mean, again.
Well, they were going to split them this weekend
anyway. Yeah. I'd say,
I would
see what Tuukka has.
I would play Tuukka tomorrow night.
Right.
Now, I have not looked at the records, how each has done against Arizona
Dallas
and Dallas.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that what they're probably going to do is play Tuukka tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And then, depending on how it goes, see about coming back to him even on Saturday.
And who knows what the defense is going to look like either.
Yeesh.
I mean, it's brutal.
You're going to bring up another kid from Providence.
Yeah.
By the way, in Providence, they've got a bunch of injuries on defense. They only have 4 defensemen in Providence under NHL contract right now.
Wow.
So you're going to bring up another one. Jacob Zaboral's already with the team. He'll go into the lineup. You'll probably bring up another one because you need a spare. I mean, you're going to be playing with Zaboral and Lauzon. And
I mean, maybe somebody can look good, I mean, I don't know. I mean, last year they had to play a ton of young guys, and a bunch of them made the most of their opportunity. So maybe somebody will take this and go with it, but I don't know. It does not look pretty.
The bigger disappointment for me last night from a Bruins perspective was how their forwards, I thought, got manhandled. Now, as we said, Colorado's a big, strong team. The 5-on-5 shot attempts, not enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's not all on the fact that Zdeno Chara got hurt. You didn't get enough again from guys up front. You weren't getting good scoring opportunities at the other end of the ice. And then when Chara went out, you were giving up great scoring opportunities at your end.
It seems like it's been a real mixed bag for them, for the whole team. It's hard to be consistent. Where they're at in the standings is probably where you expected them to be.
Third in the division.
Right, and that's right. You get Tampa and Toronto, and then there they are. So, that makes sense. But some of the stretches that they have had, they go from looking like a powerhouse, and then there are other times where you say, what the hell's going on here? They look like they're a mess. So it's only going to be tougher to figure that out without Chara, potentially, for a little while.
It would be nice if you could get, you know, your team out on the ice, and they're not able to right now. McAvoy's skating, but with the concussion protocol, you don't have a timetable.
Who knows?
Kevin Miller is skating. He's coming back from the broken hand. They thought it was realistic that maybe the Detroit game next week, but he's on the trip with them. You know, maybe he tries to rush himself back in now because he thinks the team needs the help. Brandon Carlo, I have no idea.
No clue. Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, it's nowhere near what you expected it to be at the start of the season. And so you're going to be relying a little bit more heavily. Like, everybody sort of gets elevated. You know, your third pair is now your second pair, or not even, and then it's not even as consistent as you wanted it to be. So,
and at times last night, you were pairing Krug and Grizzlick, and they can't be a defense pair against that team.
No, or most teams.
They're not big enough, and this is not a knock on them. They are what they are, and they have skills.
Right, they're good on their own right, and they're good, you know, mixed match. And we were wondering, you know, down the road, like right now they can't worry about it, but down the road, could you even have both those guys out there? And that's why there were so many Torrey Krug trade rumors before. But now you're sort of forced into it. Yeah, ideally, you wouldn't have them paired up together. But again, you might have to see it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Celtics had a nice bounce back last night. We'll get into that as the day goes on. Mm-hmm. Peter King will join us at 11:30. We'll talk about the fiasco in Mexico and whether or not that's enough to get the National Football League to finally pull the plug on this madness. And we've got arguably the worst play I've seen on a basketball court since Rudy Tomjanovich.
Kermit Washington? This was aggressive.
Awful.
Yeah, it was bad.
We'll talk about all that stuff. We'll get to your calls as well. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. All right, let's get this out of the way because it's going to happen. I promise you it's going to happen. There are reports out there that say that there is virtually zero chance Kevin Durant re-signs with the Golden State Warriors.
How about that?
That he doesn't like the whole situation, the whole Draymond Green thing.
Bit of a fight.
Now, there are other Warrior sources who say they can't even imagine he's not going to re-sign, but whatever.
I don't know why you would be convinced that he would re-sign.
Yeah, I wishful thinking,
maybe.
He's
a baby.
So anyway, there are many reports saying it's not going to happen. He's not going to re-sign there.
Yes.
Stephen A. Smith says there are two front runners to sign him, the Knicks and the Lakers. Shocking that he would say those are the two.
Yeah, you know. LeBron tried recruiting him this year because he knows that he can't beat him, so he was trying to get him to play out there. That makes some sense.
All right, too. So let's get it over with right now because it's going to happen. There's going to be this, hey, think we can get him? Hey, do you think we can get Kevin Durant to come to Boston?
Do you think we can get him?
I don't think so.
You don't think we can get him?
I don't. But do you?
Never say never, Dale.
And so you think it's possible, I guess.
No, I think it's pretty unlikely. I think the interesting question would be, if they think they're going to lose him this year, do they try to trade him and get a ton for him to a team that he would re-sign with? Or, because can they win the whole thing without him? They did it before.
Well, they could.
They could. I mean,
with
it's a lot easier.
With them,
yeah.
They're clear favorites.
They're head and shoulders the favorite with them. So, they should. I mean, the smart money would be keep it together unless Durant and Draymond are just going to fight each other all the time. Then you can't do that. But they should just keep him. Even if he walks away, you have a three-peat. You know, that's you got your money's worth out of him. And then he can go play for the Knicks all he wants and still be on a bad team.
I mean, you feel, I've always felt the inevitable destination was going to be L.A. and play with LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah, he's a kind of a weird guy, but yeah, the Lakers could make some sense, and then obviously he and LeBron are friendly, so I could see him, and that would be LeBron's only way, I think, that his time with the Lakers could end, at least in the NBA Finals, and that would probably be getting Durant. But even still, that opens it up so they could re-sign Klay Thompson, and then they would have the group together that was essentially the one that won the first title, and they'd still be the best team in the NBA, although it'd be a whole lot closer.
So the Celtics had a nice bounce back last night after a lackluster road trip. Now, the general rule of thumb is when a team has a good road trip, the first home game after doesn't usually go so well. When you have a bad road trip, And they had a bad road trip.
They had a terrible road trip.
That first game back, it's almost like, okay, we got to make up for some stuff here.
Yeah, and it helps that you're playing one of the worst teams in the league. The Bulls are bad, and they're hurt. A couple of their top guys were not in there. So it was really, you know, Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, that was about it. And once again, it was a slow start. Like, they lost the first quarter, but they were down, what was it, like 12-4, whatever it was, right out of the gate. And you said, what the hell is going on? And Kyrie Irving played really well again, which was great to see. He was more interested in getting other people going. Jaylen Brown, like, it was very equal scoring. All five starters were in double figures. Terry Rozier was in double figures off the bench. No Marcus Morris, he was out sick. But they played a lot better. Again, it is a terrible Bulls team. But at the same time, they played a terrible Suns team and had to have that crazy comeback and then win it overtime. So at least that was good to see last night.
I thought, you know, what I was able to watch as I was working, you know, I thought that it was a decidedly better effort than what we saw in a couple of those games on the road, where, generally speaking, you don't question effort on the Celtics very often.
No, but that's what it's weird. It's been effort and energy. Kind of like what they were saying about the Patriots, too, and a lot of the Patriot players are saying about the Titans. It's like, you know, when we were talking to Trey Flowers on Monday saying how they got to bring their own energy, that was the same thing for the Celtics, and that's why so many people brought up the idea of changing the starting lineup, which I still wouldn't do, and they didn't do it last night. I like those five playing together, but some of the talk is, well, Marcus Smart is such an energy player. Marcus Morris is an energy player. If those guys are in the starting lineup, would you have more right out of the chute? And again, they need to clean that up. They can't dig themselves these big holes early on. But yeah, so after what seemed like a little bit of a slow start, they bounced back. They had a fantastic second quarter. That's really where the game was won. They just completely took the game over in the second quarter, and they just have so much more talent. They're such a better team than the Bulls, but at least they proved that.
Well, good news for Sixers fans. Jimmy Butler said everything's going great so far.
Is that right?
He's played one game with them, but
they lost.
Yeah, they did. But he said
they had a huge lead, and they lost. They were up like 16 in the
fourth
quarter.
Going great so far, he said.
And they lost to the Magic. Yeah, so he...
Don't you think, though, that he makes them decidedly better?
Yes, there's so much more talent there.
I mean, and now you got two teams, at least, that... Now, probably three teams in the East where you go, okay, Toronto might be at least on a par.
Toronto's
Philly's at least on a par. Milwaukee's at least on a par.
It's a pretty good conference all of a sudden, you know, where it looked like for a while all the talent was in the West. You bring a player like Jimmy Butler, who, like the play Hamilton, I think is overrated. Jimmy Butler, on a lot of places, Dale...
Oh, if he was here, you'd be so excited
who,
to
Butler?
Have him. Yes.
Well, yeah, take him. But here's the thing. I've always thought he was overrated, only in the sense that all these different publications did their like top 100 NBA players before the season started, like Sports Illustrated and Bleacher Report and, you know, everywhere else, probably WEEI. And he was top 10 in most places. I don't think he's a top 10 player. He's also not a great shooter. And I'm interested on how Ben Simmons, we know, does not shoot. Jimmy Butler's not a great outside shooter. And that's so important in the NBA today. I wonder how it'll all work. But he is insanely talented. Their starting lineup is really good. They get pretty thin because they had to give up Saric and Covington in that trade. So, and then Markel Fultz, you almost feel bad for that guy.
I mean,
holy smokes. Did you see the free throw the other night?
The double clutch?
He said it slipped.
It didn't look like it slipped. It looked like he forgot halfway through what he was supposed to do.
I'm
supposed to let go?
I think as I get older, Dale, I'm starting to feel bad for people. I never
see,
used to.
This is not you.
No, it isn't. It's weird. Maybe I'll snap out of it. But Malcolm Butler, I felt bad for watching him get roasted up and down the field until this past Sunday where you never really even saw him. Markel Fultz, I guess I don't really feel that bad for him, but the number one pick in the draft and the guy every night on Twitter, you don't even have to be watching the Sixers games, but every night on Twitter, somebody will post a free throw clip or an air ball three or something. The guy looks lost. And have you ever seen a photo of Markel Fultz where he doesn't look miserable or confused or lost? Like,
well,
he's a mess.
I'll tell you why I don't believe that it slipped.
Yeah.
Somebody had some practice footage yesterday. Might have been shoot around or something, or maybe it was practice the day before.
Yeah.
And they're not even concentrating on him. He's in the background, and he's doing the exact same shot you saw in the game.
I mean, it's such a mental thing. How about, once again.
He's got the yips.
Yeah.
He's a putter with the yips.
He's Chuck Knobloch.
Yes.
He's Chuck Knobloch.
Can't make the throw to second.
Without the off-field
to first.
Stuff. He's Chuck Knobloch. And
all that we know of.
Once again, true. Once again, thank you, Danny Ainge, for not drafting Markel Fultz. But everybody, and myself included, was saying, hey, just
and
take Fultz.
When
he's
said,
the best player.
If we had the first overall pick, this is where we would have gone. This is
genius.
What we were going to do.
Genius. Because how different would this team be if they had Fultz instead of Tatum? Oh, not. I mean, terrible. I mean, not that the team would be terrible. They'd still be pretty good, but everybody loves Tatum, and everybody's saying like how good he's going to be. Markelle Fultz, who was starting to begin the year, has now been bumped to the bench because Jimmy Butler is there, and he just seems kind of lost. But anyway, and I'm also fascinated to see how Jimmy Butler fits in because with
the T-Wolves,
it's
good so far.
Yeah, it's, what, 10 minutes?
Well,
how about Tom
it's
Thibodeau?
It's better than it stinks so far.
How about right after, well, it's true, right after they traded him, how about Tom Thibodeau saying, yeah, you know, it got to the point where we realized that this wasn't going to last. Really? How about when he showed up to practice in the, before the season
started? Yelling at everybody.
He screamed at everybody. Yeah. He like got in the coach's face, the GM's face. He took all the scrubs on the team, and they beat the starters, and he was like screaming at Wiggins and Towns. Yeah, that'll work. Oh, these guys, they're going to be fine. Like, no, they had
to get rid
of him.
I don't think Thibodeau cares a bit that he's gone.
No, he should be happy that he's gone.
I think he is happy.
But it's like you needed to wait 10 games or whatever it was, 15 games, to know that it wasn't going to work. That was so dumb. But yeah, it does make the Sixers, or it has the potential to make them a lot better because you are adding more talent. So now their big three is Simmons, Embiid, and Butler. That alone is comparable to a lot of other big threes around the NBA. But it's how does Brett Brown put it all together? Does Jimmy Butler, you know, start to bully some of those guys, and how do they respond to it? Like, they're going to be an interesting team to watch.
We suggested before the season started that the Celtics might get off to a bit of a slow start. They had like 9 of the first 13 games were on the road. You got two guys coming off significant injury. You kind of have to round into form a little bit. I think now they're at the point where, and I'm not overstating last night's win. You're right, it was Chicago. But now you're at the point where you're thinking, okay, now things will start to get rolling a little bit.
Yeah, I hope so. And Gordon Hayward still, I go back and forth on him. You know, sometimes he looks pretty healthy and pretty good. Then other times you're like, all right, well, he's not where he was before. Whereas Kyrie Irving looks like the real deal. Like he missed all that time at the end of last year, and you just never know with him. He's not the most durable guy in the league, but he's looked really good to this point. And so tomorrow night will be a fun game to watch against Toronto. So two of the best teams, you know, not necessarily record-wise, but two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference going up against each other, and then a back-to-back with Utah the next night. So much more challenging teams than the Bulls.
617-779-7937. Let's get to some calls with you guys. As soon as I find the right buttons to push, this is all an experiment every morning. Gary's in Rhode Island. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, I got a personal note. I was devastated when Steve Fredericks left WMEX, so I just wanted to say that. But I'll get to my main point quickly.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, as a young guy listening to talk radio, it meant something to me. So I just wanted to pass that along.
Sure, okay.
The other thing is, in today's Trib paper, the Pittsburgh paper, I lived out in Pittsburgh for 15 years.
Nice.
It had an article about how the Steelers players went through Bell's locker and trashed it and literally said, hey.
Well, they looted it is what they did.
They looted it, yeah.
It's so disgusting. And I wanted to call up and just say, is it shows how classless and how leaderless the Steelers organization really is.
Well, it also shows how much the players on that team hate Le'Veon Bell right now.
And love free
stuff. You know what? But they pretend, Roethlisberger pretends to send them emails and, oh, we're still friends and all of that.
Well, I don't think it's unanimous how they all feel necessarily. And Roethlisberger wasn't stealing his stuff. So if Roethlisberger was sending them a text, maybe he would. But you got to admit, some of the players are in a tough spot because they can defend him and say, hey, like, you know, he's doing what's best for him. But they also have, you know, a season to play, and the teammates that are there are who they're more concerned about.
Plus, it's probably also easier to gin up a little hatred when you got James Conner's over here, who looks really good. And
but that was a wild scene to see all these adult
weird,
millionaires just growing
well,
through all
you know,
stuff.
You need a good pair of sneakers.
I do like free stuff. Yeah. It did remind me, if you want a glory day story, Dale, when I was in high school, the
somebody rifled your locker?
No, this is actually I was actually the guilty party here.
Oh, okay.
So you know, your jersey and your shorts were like they were the same. So if you were whatever the number was, that you got like a size large, right? And then so your shorts matched the jersey.
Right.
And so one of the big guys on our team got kicked off the team for drugs or whatever. And so our
drugs or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was drugs. Yeah. And so our coach is sitting there and he's like, you know, so-and-so is no longer going to be on the team. Just want to let you guys know. And here's why or whatever. And before anybody could say anything, I go, I got dibs on his shorts.
Oh,
because
that's,
he had the baggy shorts. I want a baggy of your shorts. I was like, we got to move
on. Did you care about this guy at all?
Did not care for him. If you're going to be doing drugs during the season, that's on you, sir. We're here to win. We were committed to winning, and I got to
and
wear sweet, sweet baggy shorts the rest of the season. Looking like Jalen Rose out there.
Oh,
great.
That is sad.
Look good, play good. And my shorts were kind of tight early on. Then I got the baggy shorts because the big kid got kicked off the team.
That's all you wanted.
See you later, druggy.
And what did the rest of the players say? Did they go, oh, come on?
No, they're like, you know, a couple guys were like, ah, good call. Wanted those shorts, too.
Because you got it first.
I got those shorts. I mean, somebody can have my hand-me-down tight ones if you want them.
You got a real small butt. You can wear these if you
wear
want.
These loser shorts.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will talk to Devin McCourty today. Peter King will join us at 11:30. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it, Cleek, my guy. Appreciate it, Cleek, my guy, man. You know what I'm saying? But I hope you the best, man. Wish you success, my guy. But appreciate it, Cleek, man. I'm taking all off and on, bro. What's love?
What are you going to do with it?
Man, I hope you get that dead leg right.
Yo, what your finger when you get shot?
Gotta get that dead.
The dead leg.
Oh, come on.
So is there any way in the world, not that it's easy to picture anyway, that Le'Veon Bell could ever go back there and play?
No, he's not going back to the Steelers. Now, those
That's Bud Dupree helping the raiding party.
So is that stuff not Le'Veon Bell's now? Does he give up the stuff?
No,
or is that stuff still
I mean,
his?
He owns it,
so
and
they're
stole it.
They're stealing from him now.
Teddy Bruschi made the point on Twitter that really this is on the equipment staff. They should have had his locker cleaned out. You know, once he passed the deadline where he's not coming back,
yeah,
then they've got to go in and take everything out, put it in boxes, whatever you're going
like
to do, ship it off to him.
Some of these guys are like grabbing his turf shoes; they don't even fit them. They're like grabbing his cleats, like this is all just free stuff. So it's got to be like Steelers shirts, shorts, and hoodies. Like what else would it be?
Yeah, wouldn't it be all like freebies? Like it wouldn't be his personal stuff. It's like he hasn't been there all year. It's not like he went in and like, okay, let me like
yeah, but it's
our
probably
desk
like
setup
practice
or something.
Gear and he's probably all
got
that stuff.
Probably got a bunch of boxes of shoes with his shoe contract.
Right.
I don't know who it is. Let's say Nike for the sake of discussion.
Like that's all his
Nike
stuff.
Sent a bunch of stuff to him. They're his.
Those are his things.
He owns them.
They're just stealing from him.
Now if you've got a Steelers T-shirt,
yeah,
you know that gets handed out to everybody. I don't think that matters.
I don't think he wants that.
But how can they just go take his other stuff?
I don't know. And they seemed very happy about it. Maybe this will bring them.
They hate him.
Maybe this will bring them closer together as a team.
Oh, I don't.
Remember when we stole Le'Veon's stuff?
That was awesome.
It is pretty wild to think about that. I mean, maybe the best running back in football in his prime is sitting out the entire season. That's a pretty significant story. Now, James Conner has played well. And the Steelers are still
makes
pretty good.
Makes life a lot easier for the Steelers right now.
But Bell's better than Connor.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, like, they are. And if they're looking...
But by the way, not only is Connor really good,
yeah,
they really like him.
Oh, they do, yeah.
I mean, he's got that
He actually
kind of
plays like Bell a little bit, too, at times. He's not quite as patient, because nobody is. Nobody just stands there in the backfield and then makes their move. But he has a lot of similarities to Bell. You know, they'll throw to him, and he had a string of really good games.
Now, do you think this was strictly... He didn't sign. He didn't come back. He screwed us. Or is it, you know, I never really liked that guy anyway.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it's just he's not a part of our team anymore. They might still like him, but, like, he might as well be playing
that's the
for somebody
question.
Else.
Is he liked? Was he ever liked? Or was it, yeah, he's really good. I hope he's here.
Now, the only time I thought that he was not really liked was it Pouncey? Or was it one of the offensive line guys made a comment early on? And I was like, well, maybe those guys don't like him. But Roethlisberger, to the previous caller, Roethlisberger's always said the right things. He even said it yesterday.
He's like, texted him.
Great player, great teammate. You know, we loved playing with him and whatever. But they got to move on. But it's just amazing that it came to this. Don't you blame the Steelers a little bit? Like, if the Patriots had a player sit out the
Patriots
entire...
Patriots would play it just like this.
I guess. But couldn't you have gotten something for Bell? Like, couldn't you have predicted this? Maybe not.
They did. This is what happened with Logan Mankins, except he came back.
He came back and played
after the six games, whatever it was, whatever the number
was. But I don't know. That's a lot because you could have traded him. You could have gotten something for him. I mean, you're going to get a compensatory pick or whatever.
Which isn't quite the same.
You think he cashes in? You think he gets like a huge contract?
He'll get a big contract, but he's never going to make up the money that he just lit a match to.
Yeah.
I mean, that money is gone forever. It's not like he's going to say, oh, that's fine. I know I walked away from $8.5 million, but I'll get $8.5 million plus more next year, yeah. And that's not going to happen.
Well, he's healthy. He didn't get hurt this year.
He's rested.
There's that. He's very well rested. Yeah, it's quite a. You would think more players would support him.
See, that's the thing that bugs me. Not bugs me. It surprises me. Generally speaking, when it comes to business, players are pretty much united.
Yeah.
Hey, you take care of you. You gotta do what's best for you.
Unless it comes to Tom Brady, then they were gonna crap on him and tell him to take the suspension.
And usually, especially in a contract situation, they're very understanding because they know it could be them next time.
Yeah, that's what you would think.
I could be fighting for that money next time. And this time they're like, what are you doing? Well, you can't do that. Here.
Yeah. I side with the players, especially in the NFL. The other sports, I guess, it's more case by case because all the guaranteed money and everything.
Oh, especially in the NFL.
But in the NFL, it's like, if this guy really wants to do that and if he thinks the money's going to be there, then good for him, because I know a lot of people, and I saw it on Twitter, they offered him like $70 million or whatever. Like, they offered him all this money. And what was
guaranteed?
Not much.
I know.
Right? Like, not much at all was guaranteed. So he felt this was the right thing to do, and it's not having quite the impact. Again, if they didn't have James Conner and it was somebody else and it was more of a mess, maybe
they'd be getting killed.
Maybe they would have caved too. With Conner, and it was funny because Conner had a great week one, and you're saying, oh boy, like Bell's screwed. And then he was bad for like a game or two, but then they stuck with him, and then he ended up being really good. He's been one of the better backs all season.
617-779-7937. Mike's on the cell phone. Oh, hold on. Let me hit the button again. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
How are you?
I just got a thought here. I mean, Mr. Bell, wasn't he supposed to make $14-15 million this year?
Yeah, if he signed,
if he signed the
tag or the tender or whatever it was, yeah.
Well, I happen to feel that the rest of the owners are going to be looking at that and go, I'm paying him $15 million and he's going to hold out on me. What if I get him and pay him 18 and he holds out on me? I think he's going to be blackballed.
Mike, here's the problem.
Like
he didn't hold.
That took a knee.
He didn't have a contract. That now, if he had a contract and said, I'm not coming in, I'd understand what you're saying. But
so that was the franchise tag?
Yes.
Yeah, he got tagged, a second time, right? Didn't he get tagged the year before?
All right. I thought he had a contract for $14 million, $15
million. No. All right, he got tagged again.
Playing on the franchise. I get that.
Yeah.
I was thinking he had, he was under contract and he wanted to, rewrite it.
No, he did not have a contract.
Again.
They were trying to negotiate. They offered him, quote-unquote, $70 million, which wasn't really.
Yeah, because he played under the franchise tag last year, if I'm correct. And then he came back.
Players always hate it.
Oh, it's terrible.
They always get mad when you franchise them.
I'm surprised they agreed to it originally. I mean, they must have had to give something back.
Football
but they're
players
terrible.
Are, yeah, they just roll over no, for
I,
anything.
I take it back. I'm not surprised. But it's just another thing that the owners absolutely dominated the players on. Because the players, anyone who gets franchised hates it. Nobody's like, oh, sweet, I get to end for this year. He's 26. But with no guarantees beyond this year, I mean, we all know 30, that's pretty much it for a running back. Very few running backs are good after 30. So he needs to cash in on this. He has one more contract. That's what it is for running backs.
That's
you get
it.
Your rookie
this
deal
is his last
and one more, and that's it. So he needs to cash in. And I understand $14.5 million is a ton, but if you can get the future guarantees and get a whole lot more than that, that's what he's doing.
Well, let's see what Stephen A. had to say about the NFL owners on this.
The owners are going to be just as diligent against him as they have been against Colin Kaepernick in an effort to curtail that from happening. They cannot, in my opinion, I can't see them allowing Le'Veon Bell to get the money he richly deserves.
They must collude to do this, right? They must, in other words, they have to collude to do that.
What do you think about that? Do you think that the owners would?
I don't think it's the same as Colin Kaepernick at all.
Well, it's definitely not.
I mean, so in other words, if a guy doesn't sign a franchise tender, we're going to screw him.
They're going to collude. They're going to blackball Le'Veon Bell.
I don't believe that. I mean, I understand that the franchise tag is there. It is a tool that owners and GMs use to their benefit.
But you should be.
But nobody's obligated to sign it.
You should only have to do it once. That's at the very least. At
well,
the next
that strong
CBA.
Players association will take care of that.
I'm sure they'll straighten
next
it out.
Time, yeah.
They're only going to make it worse. But I just think that some team will sign them. I don't know if it is the New York Jets or somebody is going to break the bank. They're going to say, hey, we need them, especially a team that has a young quarterback because you're not paying the quarterback a lot of money. So by the time that quarterback becomes the guy, whether it's, you know, the paid guy, they're already the guy, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen, although they have David Johnson there, but Sam Darnold, you're not paying that guy a lot of money, so you can afford for the next 3 or 4 years to pay Le'Veon Bell what you would probably pay, you know, a starting quarterback. So that, I think a team's going to sign him. I don't think he's going to get blackballed.
I don't think he'll get blackballed.
He's too good, by the way.
I don't think he's going to make as much money as he thinks he's going to make.
That might be right. But I also think that the a truly great player, like an elite-type player, can't get blackballed. I don't think Colin Kaepernick was at that level.
No.
If Kaepernick was better, we've had this discussion a million times, but if he was better, he'd be in the league. And Le'Veon Bell, they might not be thrilled with how his franchise tag situation has worked out, but they're going to keep him in the league.
Let's talk with New England Patriots defensive back Daron Harmon. Daron is brought to you by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. He joins us on the line. Hey, Daron. Oops. Let's try that again. That didn't seem to work, fellas.
Rossi, can you pot him up if you could?
There we go. Hey, Daron, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself, guys?
Good.
Doing great, thank you. We were just talking about this a few minutes ago, how fans take a loss and they let it fester until the next game. Players kind of have to turn the page a little quicker than that, don't they?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, because it's always something in the front room mirror that you have to accomplish. And this week it was the bye week, getting better, doing a little self-scouting on ourselves, trying to figure out where we can be better, what we can improve on, what we're doing well, and still improve on that to make us a better football team and a better defense.
After a solid defensive performance against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, then you guys go into Tennessee and Marcus Mariota, and they put up 34 on you. What was the big difference week to week?
Execution. Playing with good fundamentals, tackling. From a defensive standpoint, we did all those things poorly, and we talked about it. We knew that was going to be a hungry team, a team that felt they were moving in the right direction, especially their Monday night win against the Cowboys. So we knew we were going into a hostile environment, and we knew for us to leave there with a win, we had to do everything at a high level. And quite frankly, we did nothing at a high enough level to win that game.
Your only practice of the week was yesterday, a padded practice, and now you're off for a few days. Was practice yesterday a lot different for you guys than it would be on any other week?
I would say a little bit, just based off the fact that we're not game planning for anybody. We were actually, you know, in sense, kind of game planning against ourselves, you know, going over problem plays that we might not have had too much success against, and plays that we know teams will try to use to go against us. So, you know, just trying to work on those things, work on us being a better football team, and then doing just a regular week, a game week, we're just working against that team. All our focus is on the team that we're playing this week, and more so the focus was just on us improving our football team and improving our defense.
What did you think of Deion Lewis's comments saying that if you get physical with you guys, you'll fold?
I mean, Deion, I think he was just caught up in the moment. I have a lot of respect for Deion. He's a good friend of mine. He knows the work we put in here. He knows each and every day and all the players that, I mean, we're not a team that's going to fold. I mean, he went to 2 Super Bowls and won one and obviously lost another. So he knows this is a good franchise. I just think he was caught up in the moment. He was excited to win that game. Obviously, that game meant a lot to him from a personal standpoint. But, I mean, he's a competitor. I mean, he's a chatterbox. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from him.
Did you get a chance post-game to say hello to some guys who were former teammates and talk at all to any of them?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I talked to all of them. Got to say hello to all of them briefly, you know. Obviously, we lost the game, so I wasn't, you know, a lot of us wasn't in the best mood at them. But, I mean, seeing those guys, you have a lot of memories, a lot of just strong friendship bonds. And seeing them after, you know, not seeing them for a while is always good, and just catching up and, you know, talking about stuff other than football, you know, family, how they're doing, how they're adjusting and stuff like that.
Monday Night Football was supposed to be in Mexico. They've moved it to L.A. Last year, you guys played in Mexico. What do you think about playing games, regular season games, outside of the United States?
To tell you the truth, I actually enjoyed it. I mean, some people have their take on it, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing the fan base from the Mexican community and how they came out and supported us. I mean, me personally, I didn't realize how big the NFL fan base was outside of America because it's a strong American sport. But the crowd there, I mean, it was a packed house. Everybody either had Patriots or Raiders jerseys on. I've seen a lot of 12 jerseys. And I was just, you know, astonished for how many people came out to support, how loud it was. I mean, in all reality, it felt like a home game for us, and that was a memory, an NFL memory that I will always cherish.
Did you get out and see things, or did you just stick in the hotel and go from the hotel to the stadium, and that was it?
Yeah, it was just a hotel stadium. We got there the evening before the game, and similar to like when we go to any other city, I mean, you don't really get to see much because, I mean, you go there the evening, you have meetings, you have a curfew. You wake up the next day, depending on what time the game is, you have either have more meetings or you're just ready to just get on the bus and go play. So it was actually no time to see the city, but, I mean, just going through it, I mean, it was a humongous city, a large city. You could see just all the people there, and it was still, I mean, it was just a great time playing in that, that stadium in front of those fans.
Do you get away for a couple of days now?
Yeah, just for a few, man. I mean, got some things to look forward to, some family time. Maybe my wife, she's expecting, maybe we have the baby this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, you know, so, I mean.
Good timing.
Wants to come this weekend, it would be perfect timing, you know, just some time for all of us just to relax. And obviously me be a big help towards her with the other two kids I got. But, if, I mean, no baby. We'll go to the Celtics game tomorrow as a family. Christopher has a basketball game on Saturday. Then we'll kind of just relax, go to church on Sunday, and then watch some football. So, I mean, a nice, relaxed, family-oriented weekend that I'm super excited for.
Well, best of luck to you this weekend. That's a pretty big bye week weekend for you if it works out that way. And best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Take care. That is Daron Harmon. Now, that I guess the answer is
that?
No, I'm not traveling this weekend.
No, you're staying put.
Staying right here.
Wow, a lot going on.
He said that'd be good timing, though.
That would be perfect. They probably
work
planned
it out.
They probably planned it. They're like, when's the bye week? Okay, got it.
Back time. Okay.
Yeah. 9 months.
That's because it just works out that way,
perfect.
Right?
Perfect. Nice job.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll talk to Peter King at the bottom of the hour. We'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Sports Radio, WEEI.